This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits in music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive! Way back! It might be! It could be!
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
All right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live. Bringing you the best there is in sports talk and entertainment on Wednesday night. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are live. RatPackSports.com. Also the Rat Pack Radio. WRPR app. You can find us online. Podcasts. On Podbean, ratpacksportsshow.podbean.com. You can find us on iHeart. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on pretty much most of the major podcasting platforms as well. You can find us on CastBox as well if you want to download our podcast through there. So we're here, man. It is Wednesday night, and a busy sports week. A lot going on, and it's not really NFL related. You know, normally it's April, so it's a little bit of downtime. You would say downtime as far as getting ready for the NFL draft. In between the NFL draft and the combine. You know, once the combine is over, there's a lot of downtime, and you really don't have much to talk about, and there has not really been a whole lot to talk about from the NFL standpoint. But there has been a lot to talk about in the basketball world from a professional standpoint and also from a college basketball standpoint. Obviously with March Madness and this year, it really was March Madness. And it was crazy. It was crazy, but it was a lot of great games. There was upsets. Nobody brackets went the way they wanted them to go. Either side, men's and women's side, there was not much at all. Man, what is this, man? Get rid of this junk. Turn off. There was not much to really what people, looked at their brackets and said, man, this my bracket came out just the way, I wanted it. Obviously, it didn't. Jump was crazy. So here we are, and we're here. We're just, watching these games, and you're watching upset after upset after upset after upset. And it just kept coming. I would say after the second round, nobody brackets after the second round were anywhere close to where they wanted. I know mine were completely destroyed after the second round. Completely destroyed. There was nothing left to be excited about. I mean, as far as I didn't bet. I don't bet. I don't bet on the game, so it really don't matter to me. But, usually my brackets are pretty good. And if it goes south, and a lot of times they don't, but this year it went south, as well as many other people brackets. And normally when my brackets start to do that, I just give up and I just start rooting for the underdogs. So, normally I would do a bracket where I'm really picking who I think will win, and then I would do a underdog bracket. My underdog bracket didn't even pan out well, because my main bracket didn't pan out well. So this year was crazy, man. But we had great games, whether they were upsets or, the teams that you expected to win won. All the games was excellent games to watch. The men's games, the women's games, and I think this year, because I'm gonna be fair and say this. I think the women's tournament this year was more exciting to watch than the men's, because there was a lot of star power, in the women's on the women's side. And a lot of upsets on the women's side as well. But people were tuning in to watch, you know, Caitlin Clark. They were there tuning in to watch LSU and that squad. They was tuning in to watch to see if South Carolina would run the table and go 36-37-0 or 38-0 and run the table. You had other teams that were very strong. You had teams like the Miami Hurricanes who came out of nowhere. The women's team kind of came out of nowhere, had a great run. You had all the number one teams go down before, I think, I want to say they went down before the Sweet 16. So this thing was wide open. You know, the men's was wide open as well, but you know, there was more fireworks in the women's side. And the one reason why I would say that is because, you know, when you're watching the men's basketball, you expect certain things to happen, and they normally do. You expect, you know, high scoring games and you know, ridiculous shots being made and stuff like that. But this year with the women's, there was a lot of storylines going on. And, you know, again, people, you know, actually got a chance to watch the best players in you know, women's college basketball play. You know, Caitlin Clark playing in Iowa. No, you don't really get to watch her play a whole lot. So, you know, when you get to these tournaments, you get to watch teams and you get to watch players that you wouldn't normally see on a night-by-night basis play. And, you know, it was great. You know, we know every year for these tournaments, there you can pretty much watch them on like 20 different channels. But I think ESPN, you know, did something right by them showing like all the games. You know, the majority of the games were on ESPN, and I think that had a bigger impact on, you know, viewership because they were easy to find, right? You know, with all these games, you know, you're looking for True TV, you're looking for, you know, TBS, some of these eyeball channels that, you know, you normally wouldn't look for and find to watch anything on. Now you got to look for them and find them for the tournament games, and you know, sometimes that can you know, helps when you got them, you know, available to watch on that many different networks. But at the same time, there's a lot of networks, so people just, you know, I don't feel like looking for it, or sometimes you just can't find it. Like there was, you know, games on at some time, and I'll be sitting here like, man, I can't even find the game. So putting it on channels, well, they're easy accessible and to find, always helps, you know, with viewership. And this year's women's tournament, where at least the championship game had almost 10 million viewers. So, man, I'm saying for the women, I don't know what they have for the men's because I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, for the women's side, there were, you know, 10 million viewers that watched that game, and I was historical for, you know, women's college basketball. So hopefully they could take this and kind of, you know, run with it and continue to showcase, you know, women's basketball. And you know, I coach women's basketball, and there's a reason behind why I coach women's basketball, is because I feel like if you want to watch basketball in its most purest form, with the fundamental aspect of the game and, you know, more team-friendly basketball, it's women's basketball. Because let's face it, you know, they can't jump out of the gym. They're not, you know, doing these ridiculous acrobatic shots. They're not dunking on each other. You know, all that is exciting. But in the same sense, you lose the fundamental aspect of basketball when all of that stuff is involved, because you tend to get more individual, you know, one-on-one play from players and from teams. So, you know, coaching women's basketball for me is more satisfying than coaching a bunch of boys that, you know, they just rely on athleticism and they don't, it's harder for them to listen, you know, to direction. So, I just like it better. So, you know, this year was probably the first year I watched both tournaments from like start to finish. Normally I just catch it at the Sweet 16, or I'll watch a game here and there, you know, and then I, you know, once you get into the Sweet 16 and the Final Four, I'm dialed in. But, you know, from start to finish, the just both sides, men's and women's, was you know, great theater. Like, it was excellent to watch. You know, the teams that everybody expect to win lose. I mean, for people that bet, oh, I know, you know, a lot of people lost money, and you know, I know a lot of people was upset, especially if their school was one of those schools that was favorite to make it to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8 or the Final Four or the championship game, and they don't get there. You know, in my men's bracket, I didn't have neither team right in the championship game. And in my women's bracket, I don't think I had either team right in my women's bracket either. So it did a great job of just blowing up my bracket. Let me see if I can go here, tournament challenge. First of all, let me sign in first. Hopefully it let me. Oh, here we go. Code. All right, so I gotta get a code sent to me so I can sign in. So what is this? All right, so yeah, but let me see if I can run back and get this look at my tournament challenge and see exactly. I don't know if it's still gonna be up, but I'm pretty sure I can find it. So let me tournament challenge. No, I can't. Oh, here it is. So, crazy enough, one of my men's bracket, and this is how jacked up this tournament was. I finished in the 73 percentile, and I missed I had nobody in the Elite Eight. I had nobody in the Final Four, obviously, and nobody in the championship game. All the teams that I picked lost. I mean, my championship game was supposed to be, you know, Gonzaga and Alabama, which I just kind of went with the favorite. I didn't have, you know, after the Elite Eight, I mean, I didn't have none of these teams. Texas was my Sweet 16 team. UConn was one of my Sweet 16 teams. And UCLA. Is that right? Yeah. And UCLA. So after that, bro, I didn't have no, and all those teams lost. All those teams lost. So I didn't get any points the last three rounds, and I still finished with a 73% in the men's bracket. So here's my other bracket. My upset bracket was a tad bit better than my regular bracket. I had 88%. Let me see how this works. Percentage of your performance graded against all other entrants. So 88, my bracket was better than 88%. This tournament, folks, was a straight up, it was crazy. It was crazy to watch. I'm pretty sure, you know, the teams involved, you know, hated it, but. And then my women's bracket, bruh, my Final Four, 0 points. Championship game, obviously, 0 points. I had 80 points in the Elite Eight. Sweet 16, that's when it started going downhill, 39%. So my bracket was better than 39%. And I did not, I mean, the points-wise, it was a little bit better, 650, but this thing was just crazy, man. Nothing went. The only thing that happened was I had South Carolina getting into the championship game. So at least they got to the Final Four. After that, nobody else that I picked made it. I had Iowa of losing in the second round to Georgia. Actually, no. I had them losing in the third round. I actually took Duke. I had Duke advancing to the, you know, Sweet 16 and beating Iowa. So, obviously, that was a mistake. Iowa made it to the championship game. Stanford, you know, they lost the second round, so that was one of my Final Four picks. Another one of my Final Four picks was actually I came close. I had Virginia Tech beating Ohio State. I didn't think UConn would get as far as they got. But they did. I thought, actually, you know, Ohio State knocked them out. Ohio State knocked them out. So I had UConn losing, though, winning against Ohio State, and Ohio State ended up beating them. But I did have Virginia Tech in my Elite Eight. I didn't have them in the Final Four, but I did have them in my Elite Eight. So that one there was close. I had Utah beating LSU, and that game came down to 3 points. So that almost happened. You know, Utah's a tough team. And but that's it, bro. So, I mean, everybody suffered. Everybody suffered. They're just the way this was. I don't know if it'll be that way ever again, where you had so many upsets. You had so many number one number one and number two seeds that just got lit up in the first couple rounds. I mean, lit up. To the point where we're sitting here and we're looking at this like, man, what is going on? Everybody's getting knocked out. If you was a 1-4 seed, you was at risk of losing. That's just the way it went down this year. For the high seeds, you wouldn't want to be in a high seed. Let me see here. But, you know, good for the game as a whole. You know, I'm a big advocate of you know, fundamental basketball. It looks better. I'm a big advocate of team first basketball. So, you know, for me, it was great. It was great, you know, watching it. It was great to see that type of basketball be rewarded, and you know, a lot of people watched it. So, you know, hopefully we see more of that. Cause I think, you know, you guys have heard my long rants on, you know, where the game is heading and where you know, where, hold on. Yeah, but you know where the game is headed. You know the style of game that it is. I could go on and on, but at the end of the day, you know, they did a great job of showcasing the game to everybody. So if this helps, you know, bring more ratings to the sport, they're going to have to do some things to capitalize on it. But, you know, there's a chance that you may have an opportunity to you know, capitalize on this and keep these interested fans around, you know, and have these, you know, fans watching, following players like they follow, you know, other players in the NBA and, you know, other leagues like that. It's just good for the game. Now, speaking on what was good for the game, now I'm going to get into some things that I'm not going to say is bad, you know, it's bad for the game, because any publicity is good publicity when you can keep your product in the news. So, but I want to get into it because I've, you know, been in this debate, you know, the whole week, back and forth with some people that I know about, you know, what's considered trash talk, and then what is, you know, over the line or considered, you know, sort of taunting, and what place does it? What is this? You know, what place does it has in the game, and if it's okay? So, you know, this year we had a lot of not controversy, but, you know, a lot of competition, a lot of people, teams, a lot of females. That's, you know, highly competitive, which that's the way it always should be. When you are in competition like that, things happen in the moment of the game. Sometimes it could get a little excessive and lead to, you know, bad situations. So, after the game or before the game was over, it was already over, but, you know, time running out the clock and everything like that, you see Angel Reese, LSU, you know, superstar player for LSU, kind of following Caitlin Clark around the court and, you know, doing the you can't see me. Basically, if you're a wrestling fan, you know where it comes from. John Cena, you can't see me, you know, throwing the hand up over the face, you can't see me. That was a, you know, a move that Caitlin Clark did some games earlier in the tournament while going back to her bench when the timeout was called. It wasn't directed individually at anybody on Louisville because that was a game that it happened in. It was against Louisville. But while she was walking back to her bench, she threw the you can't see me to one of her teammates that was meeting her walking towards the bench. And you know, in the championship game, Angel Reese decides, hey, I'm gonna throw it back at you, but I'm gonna make sure you see me. So I'm gonna be right in your face when I do this. And she kind of followed her around for a few seconds to make sure that she noticed her and she was in her face when she mocked, you know, Caitlin Clark, you can't see me gesture. Now, a lot of people are saying, you know, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's just trash talk. You know, it happens in the men's games. Nobody says anything, right? Maybe so, but here's the difference where people are, you know, getting it mixed up and say, well, when Clark did it, nobody said nothing, and when Angel Reese did it, now everybody's talking and saying this and saying that. It's, you know, trying like they always do, you know, trying to throw in that black versus right white narrative of, well, you know, Clark is a white girl, so of course they're not going to say anything to her, but Angel Reese is black and she has this aura about her that makes her an easy target, so they're going to say something. And here's my take. I can't speak for everybody, right? I can't speak for everybody, but I'm a go to when I played, whether it was middle school, high school, college, you know, rec league, you know, flag football, no matter what, everything that I played, everything that I did, I wasn't about the celebrating, you know. When I made plays, I wasn't about, you know, showing up an opponent or anything like that. I've won championships. I've, you know, I've accomplished a lot, you know, in my playing days. Never once did I feel like I needed to, you know, show up my opponent because I did something they couldn't do. You know, my mindset was always I make a play. All right, I was supposed to make that play. Go back to the huddle or, you know, go back to with my teammates, you know, celebrate with them. But it didn't make sense to me. I was humble like that. A lot of people can't be humble. We get it. We get it. A lot of people can't be humble. You know, you see the NBA, NFL, you know, players celebrating simple plays. This guy got a dunk, so everybody got to jump up and run on the court and pat their head like, you know, this is the best thing that they've ever seen. And to me, it's just a regular play. What are we celebrating? You know, what are we celebrating? NBA-wise, me, Nicholas Lane, we talk about this team a lot on this show, Memphis Grizzlies. They're one of those teams that tried to play the tough guy role. They celebrate. They trash talk. They get in people's faces. They try to intimidate you. And at the end of the day, again, you ain't won nothing. So what you celebrating for? Sometimes the celebration is just stupid. Like the situation with Clark and Reese. All right. You just won a national championship. You have every right to celebrate. You have every right to be, you know, excited and happy for yourself, your teammates, your coaches. Nobody's complaining about that part, you know. But the part where I find it, you know, interesting is you walked around and basically stalked this player to make sure she saw you mock her right to her face. Now, in the NIT, you had players get suspended because a scuffle broke out in the handshake line because words were exchanged between two players. And players were suspended, you know, after that scuffle. So next season, those players will not be able to play, you know, until their suspension is over with next when the season starts next season. So, fact, you know, rewind back to this situation with Clark and Reese. If, you know, Caitlin Clark was a player that had a hot head temper, and that happened, now you risk some, you know, other things happening. Now you risk a possible scuffle type situation. And to me, it's just doing too much. It's not worth it. I know the game is almost over. But you know, it was a great game. And because of that situation, nobody talking about this 102-85 college basketball game that you don't see points scored like that in any college game, women or men's. And you had a shooting display that was unlike anything else from both teams, and a very, you know, highly competitive game from both teams that should have been talked about. But when you do the acts of what, you know, Reese did after the game, you know, doing the "you can't see me" in her face, pointing at her ring finger, saying, you know, whatever she said. I'm not a great lip reader, but she, you know, did what she did. That automatically became the subject of the conversation, and now everybody's talking about that. And they're not talking about this great, you know, basketball game. So for me, I'm just not a fan of trash talk, period. Like I said a lot on this show, you know, it's everybody follows what they see at the professional level, and then it just trickles down. So when I mentioned Memphis Grizzlies, you got your boy Brooks, and he's always in people's face. Now, you don't hear me talk about it because me and Nicholas Lane, we've touched on this quite a bit, and you know how Memphis tries to play the role of a tough guy, and sometimes it just doesn't work that way. So at the end of the day, it's just about, you know, doing what you do and doing it in a way where it doesn't, you know, cause a, you know, black mark on you or your team that you choose to, you know, play with. So, it was all good for, you know, everybody involved until that happened. So we've been sitting here for days, you know, talking about it. You know, Clark has come out and said her two words, and everybody else is just kind of falling into, you know, line with it. But um, it's a great thing to you know, have to see, you know, how well it all goes. But at the end of the day, you know, it just does it create a rivalry? To me, you know, rivalry have to, you know, it's thought short term, but it goes the distance, you know. So maybe this is something good that'll keep everybody tuning in when they become, you know, pros. It'll help bring more viewership to the professional game, you know, for, you know, women's basketball. But then, you know, some of the financial, you know, debates and everything that everybody have, maybe, you know, some things can be done to help them, you know, increase that revenue a little bit. But it's all going to fall down on if they, you know, taking advantage of what they currently are doing. Excuse me. Need to get me a drink. Throat drying up. So, you know, the tournament was great. Hopefully next year is better. And you had, you know, a lot of first-timers in the tournament. What the Miami Hurricanes men and women's team did was unprecedented. You don't really see that a whole lot where you see the men's and women's team representing the same school, both with an opportunity to make it to the championship game of their respected, you know, conference or division. And that was, you know, after my bracket blew up, you know, I started going for the underdogs and, you know, see what I could do there. But yeah, so we'll see how that all lines itself up. But what we're going to do here, because we're at the bottom of the hour, so I want to keep this thing, you know, somewhat on time. So we're going to take a quick one, and then we're going to come back. We're going to kind of stay on the topic, but we're going to kind of go in another direction with it. So with that being said, this is the Rat Pack Sports Show. Wednesday night, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. We'll be back after this.